Fans, nice to have you back with us. It's always a pleasure to bring an established author, a brilliant author, to the airwaves here in the Bay Area and really around the country and around the globe as people stream our show. And it is Lincoln Mitchell. Lincoln has been on our show before. Baseball Goes West, The Dodgers, the Giants, and the Shaping of the Major Leagues. That was his last book with us. But, of course, when we know Lincoln, he's an adjunct professor, associate professor of political science at Columbia, and he's also serves as an associate scholar in the Saltzman Institute of War and Peace Studies. So, authored many books on different subjects, but baseball is close to his heart. His new book is San Francisco Year Zero, and we're going to talk about 1978 and all the political upheaval, the punk rock and a third-place baseball team, and also the tragic assassinations that happened that year. So, Lincoln, welcome to the show. Great to have you back with us. How are you?
I'm doing well, Marty. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to be on KNVR. I feel like I spent a good chunk of my youth listening to KNVR, so it's got a place in my heart, too.
Well, very good. So tell us about the new book, San Francisco Year Zero. I gave a little bit of an introduction to it. Of course, we love the book you did on the Dodgers-Giants going west. This one is a little bit more specific to the Bay Area. Tell us about it, how it came about.
Well, this is a book about San Francisco in 1978. And, you know, this is the year, as you touched upon in your introduction, the year ended with the tragic assassinations of George Moscone, Mayor George Moscone, and Supervisor Harvey Milk, preceded 10 days earlier by the massacre in Jonestown. And that has gotten, you know, different books and articles written about that. But what I wanted to do was to revisit that in two ways, to look at the impact that those events had on the development of San Francisco, but also to tell a broader story about San Francisco in 1978. So I want to talk about the kind of nascent punk rock movement, which is an important political and cultural movement, but also the Giants, because the Giants in 1978, at the beginning of the year, if you go back and read, you know, the Sporting Green or the Sporting News, the story was, where will they be playing this year and in 1979? You know, the team was in bad shape. Lurie and Moscone had saved the team in 76, but they'd struggled. And then they had this fantastic year. They trade in spring training for Vita Blue and for Mike Ivey. They spend most of the summer in first place. Unfortunately, they lose a close pennant race to the Dodgers and end up in third place. But they really, it's the first post-Willie Mays team to really capture the hearts of San Francisco. And at the end of the year, you know, they're not going anywhere. And that was one of the few good news stories about the city that year. And if you were there in 78, the Giants were a big part of the story. So that's the baseball angle as well.
All right, Lincoln Mitchell with us, San Francisco Year Zero. Let's take a look at just the culture of San Francisco that year, the political upheaval. We've got the heels of Jonestown a couple of years before that, if I'm not mistaken. But where are we as people in the Bay Area heading into 1978?
Well, in 1978, you know, beginning to turn back the clock a few years, 1975, this very divisive election between the Republican John Barbagallata and the Democrat George Moscone, which really brings to a head, we think, the conflict of the 1960s and the 70s and the divisions within the city. Then in 1977, the city switches to district election, and among others, Harvey Milk gets elected. So this is a moment politically where there is both an ascendant progressive movement with people like Moscone and Milk and also a reactionary movement. You know, Barbagallata narrowly loses in 75, Dan White running on a very kind of angry right-wing platform gets elected. He wants to, in his campaign literature, talks about eradicating malignancies, which is kind of haunting language at that moment in history, in our city. So it's still divided. And then culturally, it's this moment where, you know, we've spent a lot of time since 1967 celebrating the Summer of Love. But by 78, the Summer of Love was kind of moribund. The kind of excitement of that music scene had kind of faded into what was known at that time as arena rock, but as now we would call it yacht rock. Just as kind of not very interesting. You know, the Jefferson Airplane became the Jefferson Starship, you know, and kind of loses a beat. I think that's a good metaphor for what was happening. And then punk rock comes along. And it really, at first it's this shocking, oh my God, these people have, you know, green hair and they have piercings and they're angry and the band is called the Dead Kennedys. How can you get more offensive than that? But it also brings some energy into the youth movement in San Francisco in a way that hadn't been seen in a while. And all of this is occurring in a very diverse city where the kind of liberation movements of the 70s and 60s are still in full bloom, and particularly the gay rights movement, energized by the election of Harvey Milk, the first out gay elected official in California, and maybe America, depending on when you start counting. to the Board of Supervisors. And Milk is this very dynamic, very energetic, very smart politician, which people didn't realize, but, you know, also widely hated by a lot of San Francisco. And that conflict simmers, and the politics and the divisiveness simmer. And then in November of 78, you know, we have Jonestown around the 15th, 16th, 17th of November, and 10 days later, the assassination. So that's the context for all of this.
Well, what a tumultuous time. I remember it very well. I was practicing criminal law in the Bay Area in San Francisco at that point, and I think that's right around the time that the Briggs Initiative was passed on capital punishment, and one of the first cases tried, I did, yeah, under that new Briggs Initiative, and that was, I think, in 1979. So I remember all the things going on politically at that time. Lincoln Mitchell is with us, San Francisco Year Zero. I'm glad you defined punk rock for everybody and how that fits in, because it was different than the Summer of Love. But in the middle of all this, we've got a baseball team. We've got the political upheaval. So how do you go about doing the research for this? Because there's still a lot of people around who went through this era.
Well, there certainly are. And I talked to a lot of people. You know, I talked to former Mayor Art Agnos, who knew a lot of these people. I talked to Cal Ruth Silver, who was a member of Board of Supervisors, a close friend of Harvey Milk's, and was actually next on Dan White's list of people that he wanted to kill that day. I spoke to Rabbi Alan Bennett, who was Harvey Milk's rabbi, because I wanted to talk about Milk's Jewish roots and how that kind of informed his politics. I talked to as many baseball people as I could, you know, Hank Greenwald, the wonderful late announcer for the Giants. And I was able to talk to a lot of people in the punk rock world, you know, Jello Biafra and East Bay Ray from the Dead Kennedys, Penelope Houston from the Avengers, a few of the kind of promoters, John Gillick from the Mutants. So I was able to get, you know, a lot of research. And then, you know, there are great archives. So I went through, for example, and just to get a feel of the gestalt of the city, I read every Herb Cain column from 1978, which was a lot of fun. It gives you a feel for things. You know, the Sporting News, the Chronicle, the Sports Illustrated gives you a real sense of the baseball. And I tell you, when you do a book like this, you know, you have to fact check it 3, 4, 5 times. And it's the baseball fact checking that is in some respects the most important, but also the most high pressure. Because if you say that, you know, Mike Ivey hit that famous grand slam in the fifth inning, you're going to get people screaming at you online saying it was the sixth inning. Mm-hmm. So you've got to go back and check. You know, and I covered the pennant race, and unfortunately the Giants didn't win that pennant race, but I covered, you know, game by game. So I went back and looked, you know, this game between Vita Blue pitched against Woody Freiman, this happened in the second inning. And, you know, Baseball Reference and Retro Sheet have all that online, so I was able to do that as well.
Well, I was there for the Mike Ivey Grand Slam, and I'll take your word for it that it was the sixth inning. I was there with my dear friend Jerry Schwartzbeck and sitting up, seemed like the second deck in right field, down the right field line, and probably one of my most exciting moments ever at a baseball park when he hit that grand slam. It's really one of the great Giant home runs of all time. What did you learn about this era that you didn't know, that you said, wow, I didn't understand that? Now that I've done the research, it came together for me.
You know, I learned a few things. One thing that a friend of mine who was reading the book after it was written said, he said, you know, I didn't realize how conservative San Francisco was at the time. And I really tried to capture that in the book, because there are so many books about San Francisco that kind of, you know, Summer of Love, hippies, radicalism. And it really, that's not really the case. San Francisco, there was, I mean, you were practicing criminal law. I was in fifth grade and then in sixth grade by the end of the year. So I'm a little bit younger. And I was in Catholic school, which is an odd place for a boy who's Jewish, but that was the nature of my life at the time. And, you know, a good half of the class cheered when the nun announced that the mayor and Harvey Milk were assassinated, because that's what they were hearing from their conservative parents at home. So I really kind of learned just how conservative it was. I also learned a lot about punk rock that I hadn't known. I didn't start going to punk rock shows until, you know, 83, 84. So learning about punk rock's origins, about the links between the punk rock world and the gay world, which I was not aware of, and also how different punk rock was in San Francisco, how from the very beginning it was kind of linked to politics in a way that simply wasn't true in New York or L.A. or London or anywhere like that. So I learned, you know, quite a bit. The baseball stuff, not so much I learned as I just enjoyed, you know, going back and filling in the details from stuff that, you know, I was at the Mike Ivey game too, but it was a while ago and I forgot what happened in the next inning. You know, so that kind of thing from the baseball perspective was a lot of fun.
So if one reads the book, and again, it's a similar kind of question to what I just asked, but if one reads the book, what do you want them to take from your story? What's your goal here?
Well, there's kind of two goals. The first is I want them to think about that period, to understand more about that period, and to understand that period wasn't just as simple as, San Francisco's move became this progressive left-wing city, for better or for worse. I want to understand that the other thing I learned, and I want them to learn too, is the centrality of George Moscone. And today, George Moscone is thought of as somebody who was the straight guy who was killed alongside Harvey Milk. But he was a transformational figure had he been able, he could have been a transformational figure. He ran a progressive platform and on an appeal that we now speak of the Obama coalition. But in some sense, George Moscone was the first major politician in America to explicitly speak to African Americans and to gay people and say, I'm going to fight for your civil rights. So the historic nature of who he was is something I'd like readers to take away. And then the other thing is that how strong the legacy of San Francisco is from 78 is in the city today. And the reason I say that is that the person's name we haven't mentioned in this discussion, the politician, is Dianne Feinstein, who in early 78 was the president of the Board of Supervisors, and on November 27th, 1978, came in and told the reporters at City Hall that essentially she was not seeking re-election and would soon retire from politics. And by the end of the day, she was mayor because of the assassinations, and she was next in line because of the way that the law works. And to a great extent, what Feinstein did, and again, I know that there are people in San Francisco who like Feinstein and vote for her, when she runs every 6 years, and some who don't, and everyone's allowed to have their opinion, and I have mixed opinions about her, but what Feinstein did was she split the difference between the two sides that were dividing San Francisco. And she had that hybrid of being, pro-business, but socially tolerant and socially liberal. And that is how San Francisco is governed to this day. So the one thing I want for readers to take away is the impact that the events of that year had on the San Francisco of today. Because Dianne Feinstein had run for mayor twice before and lost. And her brand of centrism wasn't going to have a place in San Francisco except for these terrible events ushered that in. And that's the San Francisco that we have now. So that's another thing I'd like readers to learn from the book.
Boy, excellent. Excellent review. I learned a lot just talking to you today, and it brought back a lot of memories for me. Name of the book is San Francisco Year Zero. Lincoln Mitchell is the author. Political upheaval, punk rock, and a third-place baseball team, a very exciting baseball team that gave a lot of thrills to the Bay Area. Lincoln, where do you get the book? Is there a special place? We have our book tree up in Montclair. I know David up there. It's out by Rutgers University Press. What's the easiest way to get it?
Well, in the days when you could go out and, go to bookstores easily, there are a number of bookstores in the Bay Area that are carrying it. If you live in the Bay Area, it's easy when you could go to bookstores. But now you can go online. You can buy it directly from Rutgers. You can buy it pretty much all online book dealers. Wherever you like to buy your books online, they should have it. I know that the major ones, Powell's, Amazon, Green Apple, with places where I like to buy books, they have them. So you can get anywhere online, and I'm sure that's how people are doing all their shopping today. And I think there's you can get electronically also.
Okay, terrific. Glad to have you on. I appreciate it. Very good. Good review of the book, and really it's a very significant part of San Francisco history, and you really tied together some loose ends there at the end. I appreciate that. So good luck with it. Thanks for being on with me.
My pleasure, and stay healthy out there.
All right, that is Lincoln Mitchell. You too. More coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5, The Sports Leader.